Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I am your host, Jason Logan. Thanks so much for taking the time out here on the Tuesday to join us on the podcast as we get ready for NFL Week 17. Holy shit, it is flying by. Only 2 weeks of regular season action left before the playoffs. Craziness, but we're getting our good bets in here. Quick recap of the week 16 podcast picks. We started the week with an easy winner on Evan Ingram over receiving yards, and we finished the week with an easy winner on Fournette over receiving yards. And then we also had the double result for the LA Chargers last night that came through, and we had another winning team 600 teaser that makes us 5-2 with those accumulators on the year. And part of that profitable team is my man, Dell, producer of the Sharp 600. Dell, you had the drive from Cleveland, which was from hell during that winter storm. And then you get home alive, which is great. How was your Christmas?
Christmas was pretty good. We got there to my nonna's house a little bit late, but she wasn't very happy about that. But it was good. Can't really complain. The food was, like I said on the Friday pod, the food was phenomenal. So that's what I look forward to the most.
What is your favorite thing that she makes?
The turkey this year was exquisite. Lots of juice in it. Sometimes she overcooks it a little bit. It was a little dry last year, but this year,
don't say that. None is turkey.
This year she killed it. It was great. Can't complain. I also didn't eat for 24 hours before that, so maybe it was a little bit of that.
You could have been eating sewer rat and it would have tasted amazing.
Exactly.
But not to put down Nana's turkey at all. Five star review on Nana's turkey this year, right?
You hit up Google reviews and there's 5 stars everywhere.
5 star. All right. Before we start the clock on the 600 seconds here on the Tuesday podcast, we ask you if you could take your time, rate and review the Sharp 600. We greatly appreciate that. And with our bagging out of the way, let's start the clock. 600 seconds, please.
Here we go.
All right, we kick off the Tuesday edition of the podcast with a look at the line moves in the first 24, 48 hours of action, depending on the game, as we did have a bulk of lines coming out on the Sunday morning following the Saturday games. And we start in Seattle, where the Seahawks have flip-flopped from 1.5-point home chalk to 2.5-point underdogs hosting the Jets. Mike White expected to be back under center for gangrene after the erratic performances of Zach Wilson and the Seahawks. They are plummeting back to earth on a 3-game slide with only one win in their last 6 outings. Tyler Lockett questionable for the Seattle offense as well. Both teams, however, pushing for a wild card spot in their respective conferences. So this should be kind of a pretty good underrated game. Miami moved from 2-point road chalk in Foxborough to as far as 2.5-point underdogs with Tua Tagovailoa back in concussion protocol. Apparently his big belly flop against Green Bay on Christmas Day was because he was playing the second half with a concussion. This coming after, obviously, that scary concussion earlier in the year. So the Dolphins could have Teddy B back under center in what is a crucial game in the AFC postseason picture. You have both Miami and New England duking it out for that final wildcard ticket. The Dallas Cowboys jump from -8.5 to as high as -10.5 for the final Thursday night football game of the year. Tennessee, without QB Ryan Tannehill, a number of injuries to starters up and down this defense. And now you have star running back Derrick Henry on the expected injury report. With a short turnaround to play Thursday, the Cowboys coming off that big win over the Jalen Hurts-less Eagles. Put a little asterisk on that one. But I will say that offense looked pretty damn good against the Philly defense. We've also seen this total dip significantly from 44 points down to 40.5. Kansas City opened -12.5, now as high as -14 at some shops, with the Broncos finally pulling the ripcord on first-year failure. Nathaniel Hackett, this is a coach who was basically drawing fire and people demanding his job as early as week 2. It took them that long to do it. I took KC -12.5 on the opening number, knowing that this was likely going to go up towards 2 touchdowns. That was before Denver announced this coaching firing. You got the Chiefs team still fighting for home field in the AFC, and that home field advantage in that conference is worth its weight in gold right now. The Broncos, they're done. They've quit on the season. Wilson is a mess. His team hates him. Denver basically counting down the days until the season's over so they can go on vacation. And another bet that I got down early that should provide some pretty solid closing line value, I bet Carolina +5.5 on the opening number on yesterday morning. This line has swung as much as Carolina plus three. We could see it down to plus 2.5, as many books are dealing Tampa Bay minus three with a cheap price tag on the field goal fave. I still like the Panthers at plus three. I took them in my underdogs column, which is up early this week on covers.com. And according to the advanced metrics, Carolina playing elite football the past month and a half, and more so since Sam Darnold showed up under center. Tampa Bay, well, we all know the story here. What are we going to get from the Bucs? We don't know. More on this game on the Friday podcast, but if you like me and you like Carolina, you definitely want to get them now at that field goal. As we size up the Week 17 NFL odds, we got a shit ton of extra things to consider here when we're handicapping, especially games this time of year. You got playoff pushes. You have mixed motivations for those guys playing with teams that are losing teams, essentially not in the mix. You have the coaching carousel. You have injuries sacking up late in the season. And then, of course, player incentives as guys try to get that little bonus towards the end of the year. All those things are piled on top of the usual situational spots that we highlight here on the Tuesday pod. Now, the letdown spot for Week 17 goes to the LA Rams. They better stop fucking around or they're going to end up with Baker Mayfield as their quarterback long term. Since picking up the cast-off QB, they are 2-1 straight up and coming off a 51-point performance against Denver on Christmas Day. They're never going to look that good again, but that performance has the line versus the Chargers at plus 6.5. Down from a look ahead of plus 9.5 before the week 16 results, essentially saying that game worth 3 points. The Bolts still battling for a postseason ticket and regression is waiting for the Rams. So I expect LA to see a bit of a letdown. The look ahead spot is honestly, it's kind of a mixed bag of situational stickiness. And it's for my Dallas Cowboys who are as big as 10.5 on the road in Tennessee on Thursday. The Cowboys could get caught looking ahead to the Week 17 finale, more specifically looking ahead to their postseason positioning and the playoffs against a busted up Titans team. And then you also run the risk of a letdown coming off a big emotional win at home against Philadelphia on Christmas Day. And then you have a schedule spot. This is a short week and it kind of compounds those two other spots. This matchup just oozes with edges for Dallas, but as the spread rises as high as 10.5, like I said, it kind of concerns me. The schedule spot sees the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road in Houston playing their second straight away game and their fourth roadie in 5 weeks. This is an important game for the Jaguars in their pursuit for the AFC South title and the playoff ticket that goes with it. However, the market, which has been in love with Jacksonville over the past month and a half, is moving away from the Jaguars here in Week 17. The Texans have shown teeth in recent outing, covering as big dogs against Dallas and Kansas City, and then they went and beat the Titans as home pups last weekend. This line has moved from Jacksonville minus 5.5 to as low as minus 3.5 at some shops. All right, so since we're coming to the end of 2022 and Week 17 has the bulk of games landing on New Year's Day, January 1, it's time to make some New Year's resolutions. We all know that the standard promises of like losing weight and swearing less, those things never fucking pan out, do they? See, I'm swearing again. Well, here are some sports betting New Year's resolutions that I'm making for 2023. Feel free to tail these or at least keep them in mind as we cap games heading into January. So before the 4-point, beware the 4-point favorite. 4-point favorite is something that I have stressed in these podcasts for the last few weeks. 4-point spread is essentially no man's land. It's been the Bermuda Triangle of betting in recent years. Money goes in, it doesn't come back out. These teams are good enough to be favored by more than a field goal, but not great enough to warrant a 6-point spread. And they are just 13 and 33 ATS since 2020, covering at just a 28% rate. That said, the money line for a 4-point chalk usually hovers around minus 200. It provides a little more stability. So if there's a 4-point favorite that you like, maybe pass on the point spread, go money line. Meet the double result. This is another New Year's resolution. Double result may not be on the radar of newer sports bettors, but it's been around for as long as online bookies. Basically, it presents some plus money value with a little extra risk, avoiding the pitfalls of the spread. It's also known as the first half full game odds. You basically select which team will win at half and then which team will win the game outright. The double result is a good way to deal with bigger favorites that you might be on the fence about, as we were with the Chargers with the plus 105 double result there last night against the Colts. And look ahead lines, learn to love the look ahead lines. While only a select number of books used to post look ahead lines and they were kind of hard to come by, now we see most major operators offering these spreads and totals for the next week's games. And these limits are usually lower, but the look ahead lines give you an opportunity to get ahead of market moves And using the current lines and expected results, you can either catch a favorite at a shorter spread or snag a dog with some bonus points. Look-ahead lines are also a great way to look at the market perception of a team, comparing what that line was before the most recent result and then where the line sits at now. As I mentioned, with LA, they were 9.5-point underdogs, essentially in a home game playing the Chargers, and have now moved to 6.5 after putting up 51 points. So it kind of shows you how those vary, and you get a good idea of how those sit. All right, two-minute drill time. So we put the Thursday night football to bed here in week 17, the Cowboys and Titans closing out the midweek matchup. We discussed this line jumping from Dallas -8.5 to -10.5 in the injury stacking up for Tennessee, which is helping power this adjustment. We also touched on the nasty kind of schedule spot, situational spot presented to Dallas on Thursday, which may scare you away now that this sucker is up to double digits and the best in the number is gone. But there is a prop for this game that holds plenty of potential and value. And I have to give credit to my covers colleague and all around handsome fellow, Josh Ingles, who has been riding the Ezekiel Elliott touchdown train all the way to the bank for the past 2 months. And with Zeke priced at +105 to find the end zone on Thursday, that's where we're going. Elliott has scored a touchdown in 8 straight games. He has 10 total touchdowns in that span, and all of them have come inside the red zone. We look at Elliott has shared backfield touches with fellow running back Tony Pollard all season. However, Pollard was an active in the estimated injury report coming out of Arlington on Monday with a thigh end injury. Owner Jerry Jones expected Pollard to look good for the game. He is expected to practice on Tuesday, but a healthy Elliott could see more touches after trailing Pollard in the snap rate the previous 3 weeks. The Cowboys shouldn't have too much trouble moving the chains here, finding their way into the red zone on Thursday. Tennessee's defense has been decimated with injuries all over the place, playing with a paper-thin secondary, and now potentially missing some key bodies up front. Tennessee has allowed 10 red zone possessions over its past 3 games, after averaging just 2.8 in the first dozen games of the season. They've also given up a lot of rushing touchdowns as well, too. The downhill power of Elliott is the weapon of choice for the Cowboys when creeping inside the end zone. He has the edge in carries and touches over Pollard, despite trailing Pollard in the snap count edge. So I like him to find the end zone again, 9th straight game, 105. Here's a little bonus one, too. So before we get to the sign-off, Malik Davis is the running back, the third running back for Dallas. Mike McCarthy said, hey, he's going to get some reps on the Tuesday show. So should Pollard sit out or be limited in touches, Davis at +750 odds to score a touchdown is pretty, pretty good. If we look at the spread, look at the game script that comes along with it, we could see Dallas running a lot. If they are up big as expected, Zeke could get some rest. Pollard could get some rest. Davis could get a lot of touches in the second half. So him as a bonus pick, +750 to score a touchdown as well. That is it for this episode of the Sharp 600. Thank you, Dell. Thank you for listening. And a reminder, please rate and review this bad boy when you have a moment. We will talk on the Friday podcast before the new year. Get some NFL Week 17 bets, as well as look at the New Year's Day College Bowls and the CFP semifinals. So until then, best of luck. This